There's a lot of debate about the fate of books in the information age. Linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts.
One of the great glories of the manuscript collection of the Bibliothèque Nationale in Paris is the Vivien Bible. It was produced in the 9th century by the monks of Tours as a gift to the Frankish king Charles the Bald. The illuminated frontispiece shows the monks in procession presenting the magnificently clad volume to the king. It's a symbolic enactment of the role that the book played in the medieval world as a link between secular and religious authority. Well, as the French themselves say, plus ça change. The French ruler is a socialist now, but he's still bald. And the intellectuals have left the cloisters, but literary culture and the book still count for a lot in French political life. This is doubtless what François Mitterrand had in mind when he called in his ministers a couple of years ago to discuss what to do for the last and greatest of the public works with which every French administration leaves its mark on the capital. What he said simply was, "I want a very big library." And in due course, the new Bibliothèque de France began to rise on the left bank in the shape of four vast towers that will replace the old Bibliothèque Nationale as the repository of what the French describe as their national patrimony. A lot of people think it's the last great library that will ever be built, at least out of bricks and mortar. Within a few decades, they say, there'll be no more need to gather all these books in one place, or to go out in the rain to consult them. The new books will all be published digitally, and the old ones will all have been electronically scanned, so that everything ever printed will be available anywhere in the world over electronic nets. This doesn't necessarily mean the end of paper books. Paper will still be the most agreeable way of reading a long text and the most convenient form for taking it to the beach. But there will no longer be any need to distribute the books in printed form. You can just print out a copy in the local bookstore or at the printer alongside of your workstation. And there will be no call for these huge repositories of printed texts or for library cards or recall notices. The digital library is coming, that's certain. As part of their program, the French are planning to digitize over 200,000 works by 1995. There's a committee charged with choosing the text that will form the core of the electronic collection. And the French are having a grand time debating the sort of question that seems made for them. If you only had 250,000 books to take to the moon, what would they be? It's happening here, too, as major libraries begin to scan in the contents of their collections for distribution over the information highways that will be built with federal help in the next decade or so. It's an exhilarating vision, which inspires its enthusiasts to orgies of cyberprose. From vast databases that constitute the culture's deposited wealth, every document is available, every recording is playable, every picture is viewable, the realm of pure information filling like a lake. Well, I'm an enthusiast too, after my fashion. I do my info surfing on the rollers of the internet and the commercial databases. I was sitting at my computer the other evening when a friend called from a dinner party where everybody was trying to remember the name of Uta Hagen's husband. "Hang on," I said, "it's at the tip of my tongue." I logged into one of the databases of the Dialogue Information Service, gave it the keywords Uta Hagen and husband, and cleared my throat for a minute or so until the screen flashed back the name of Herbert Berghoff. I have great credit in that circle now, or will until they hear this. But the digital library is less convenient when I'm after something a little less easy to pin down. Something entertaining about tomatoes, a good left-wing history of the Chartist movement. A copy of that guidebook I used in Chicago 20 years ago, the one with a blue cover. I know they're all in there, of course, but disembodied and stripped of the characteristics that might help me get hold of them. I can't just give the system some general keywords. I'll be overwhelmed. That database where I located the name of Uta Hagen's husband contains 119,000 occurrences of the word tomato, for example. At times like these, the image of infospace seems not quite right. It's more like the information tar pit. I need stacks to browse, covers to look at, happy accidents of contiguity. I gotta get out of the house. The interface people tell me it's early days yet, and I have faith in them. But in the meantime, I'll hang on to my umbrella.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto.